The Bible told us when we were sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And most of our testimonies, we could say that in a message or from the mouth of a soul winner or in a gospel tract or someone taking us to the scripture, that someone showed us we had come short of the glory of God.
You're listening to Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Pressing On is the ministry of Progress Baptist Church located in Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information about Progress Baptist Church, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. And now let's join the service at Progress Baptist Church.
Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Those are the verses that I'll read, and I'll stop there this morning. It's a heavy, heavy passage. And obviously there's a very strong application in here for the men that God has allowed to be a father. But far deeper than that, I want the message to go to every one of us that are here. If you're an adult young man or man and you don't have a family, the message applies. All of our children, all of our young people, there are just some great truths in here that we need. I want to draw your attention to the first two words of verse number 15, looking diligently. And I don't have time to reteach everything we've learned in Hebrews. And Brother Trevor was talking to me about it a few weeks ago. He had read a book in Bible class that sowed some seed from another angle of opposite of eternal security. And he said just the simple reading of the text in Hebrews just reminded me that if God did it, we can't lose it. But it's a book that is often misunderstood. It is a book that is often misapplied. And I don't have time to go back and review it all, but there's just some serious applications that we need. And they're summed up in that word, diligently. And the word means to oversee, to inspect, to look carefully, or to beware. And I just want to remind us all this morning that salvation is far deeper. Brother King said something in his 10 o'clock message about a man who was saved as a 9-year-old and said he went far away from God, and now he's been restored and is in a close relationship with God. And I was saved as a child. And I believe with all my heart that the Bible is clear that except ye come as a child, you won't be saved. So I'm very biblically convinced you can be saved as a child. But I am also very cautious, as our church family knows, to be very careful in the handling of our children, because so many people who would tell you I was saved as a child, what they mean is I prayed a prayer. My Sunday school teacher, my vacation Bible school teacher, somebody led me in a prayer, and I have no problem guiding a child, but I want to be sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit and know that God is working in that heart and life. And I don't want them to just mumble through a prayer and trust a prayer and not trust the Savior. Okay? And so diligence is what I want us to study and look at this morning. And we've been studying in the book of Hebrews about finishing well. And let me tell you something. When you're born again, when you start your journey and you're headed toward eternity, you are not responsible for keeping yourself saved. But we are responsible for the way we live and love and serve the Lord. And it requires diligence. And there's between you and me, there's not a lot of that going on in the church of Jesus Christ in 2018. There's a lot of carelessness. There's a lot of sloppiness. There's a lot of flesh. There's a lot of carnality. And if being saved is everything that we say it is, God deserves our very best. And He requires and He deserves diligence. So when I look at verses 15 through 17, I see four areas that need my attention. I'm going to try to look at two of them this morning and two of them tonight. And I want to look at these four areas as potential mudslides. And if you or I lived on a slope, and if geologists from the state came through and said, that's a trouble area, you need to watch that. You need to put up some safeguards. It would be foolish indeed. It would be foolish indeed for me to ignore that. And in verses 15 through 17, God spotlights three areas. Look in verse number 15 where He says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. I'm going to look at that one this morning, and I'm calling it discouragement. I want you to look at the middle of the verse. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. I looked up the word trouble, and it means disturbed. So number one, we're going to look at the potential mudslide or pitfall, if you would, of discouragement. The one of being disturbed, which is related to bitterness. And then look in verse number 16. Lest there be any fornicator. We're going to look at the pitfall of defilement. And God's word is very, very clear that these are things that if you are born again and you're living for Jesus, you are going to be plagued. Your old man, your lost man, your lost condition is as lost as it ever was. You are a dual natured being. You have an old man and you have a new man. Okay? And that old man is still lost. We're going to look at defilement and then look at the word profane. We're going to look at a distracted man. And I'm going to preach those last two tonight, Lord willing. But the first one that I want you to look at this morning is the one that says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. The Bible told us when we were sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And most of our testimonies, we could say that in a message or from the mouth of a soul winner or in a gospel tract or someone taking us to the scripture, that someone showed us we had come short of the glory of God. Can I share something with you? When I'm talking to somebody about their soul, I don't say, and if you do, I'm not faulting you. I don't say, do you want to know how to go to heaven when you die? I say, do you want to know how to be reconciled to a holy God? You're separated from God. I'm not a salesman trying to get them to buy my vacuum cleaner. Here's heaven and here's hell. Here's my vacuum cleaner and here's the other guy's. Mine's better than his. Do you want to know what to do to get mine? This is more serious than that, church. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in verse number 15, he says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. It is not the grace that fails. It is you and I. And that word lest is a very strong warning. And he said, you've professed faith in Christ. You claimed Him as your Savior. But I want to give you a warning lest you come short of His grace. And here's the very simple statement that I wrote in my notes. And you're going to have to hear me out or you'll leave confused. And I'd never want anybody to leave confused. Coming up short. Coming up short. Now let me explain as simply as I can what I want you to understand. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Would you all agree with me on this beginning of the journey? There are people who claim to be saved and they are not. Amen. There are many in this congregation who would say,
I had a profession of faith, but there was no change in my heart. And later on, I came to realize I needed to be born again. So there are those who profess faith in Christ, but are not. There are those who are saved, and as they walk with God, they are veered to one side or to the other. And really, what the Apostle Paul, who I believe wrote the book of Hebrews, is addressing is both of those. He's saying to these second generation Hebrews, some of you say you're saved and you're not. You just followed the faith of somebody you admired and respected. You just got down on your luck and you ended up in the hospital. And somebody came and visited you and you repeated a prayer trying to get out of the fix you were in. Can I get a witness? Your grandma died and you were sad and you were on the third pew and her casket was up here and somebody played on your emotions and got you to mumble through a prayer. There was no awareness of the fact that you were a sinner needing to be reconciled to a holy God. And so you just wanted a fix. You with me? And you say, preacher, where am I? Where am I? You're going to have to ask a holy God where you are. I am here to ask you this morning, is there evidence in your life that you have a relationship with a holy God? If all that I had to prove that I was married was a marriage certificate, nobody in here would think that was, you might have said, preacher, y'all went to the courthouse and signed some papers, but that's not a marriage. Not trying to hurt anybody who's in a stinky marriage. There's lots of them these days, and we want to do it God's way, Brother David, and teach the younger generation how to do it God's way. But you'd say, preacher, you need more than a marriage certificate. The preacher's here to tell you this morning, you need more than a baptismal certificate. You need more than a card where you join the church. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, if you're born again, and you're walking this path with Him, and you fail of the grace of God, you fail, you come short of what He has intended for you, you're going to have to go back to some earlier verses in my Bible, it's just up the page. You're going to have to go back to some verses, and if you are born again, and you have come short of His grace, you're not living like one of His children. You're not living like one of His children. You're coming short of His grace. Do you want to know what the Bible says earlier in this chapter? There will be chastisement. There will be chastisement. You say, Brother Raines, describe it and I'll let you know whether or not I've had chastisement. No, He'll deal with you differently than He'll deal with you. I had four, Brother Mike, and I dealt with them all very differently. They were all different personalities. And if I tried to deal with number one the way I dealt with number two, it'd create a mess. The rules were the same, but how I dealt with each one and their personal needs was very, very different. So I am here to tell you, if you say you were born again and you are coming short of the grace of God, you need to look for one thing in your life. Listen to the preacher, please. Chastisement. Do you sleep peacefully at night out of fellowship with God? Do you walk in this world as a child of darkness and are not troubled by the fact that you claim to be a child of light? I've got to tell you, if you claim to be His and He's not dealing with you the way you would deal with a child, something is bad, wrong in your life. I want you to, this is how serious this is. This is how serious this is. The word that God, and I want you to be careful how you hear it, and I'm going to be careful how I say it. Here's how serious this is. The word He uses in Hebrews is bastard. I didn't say that word at home. I didn't say it at my public job. I didn't say it around my children. I only say it here because it's God's word. In God's way of looking at it, it's a holy word to say, you're not mine. You say, Brother Raines, why are you staying on this point? Our world makes a joke out of this phrase. Who's your daddy? Yeah. The world treats it this lightly. My baby daddy. Church, that's a mockery. Look at the preacher. I'm not a baby daddy. Do you know what that means? You just go around Hendersonville fathering children. I'm not trying to impress you with, I'm telling you this is serious business. Who is your Heavenly Father? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus? Do you know where I'm going to have lunch today? At my Father's. Mom knows how stressful and what's heavy on my heart and mind on the Lord's Day. And nevertheless, she texted yesterday and she said, "We sure wish y'all could come to the house for lunch today." And I said, "I'd love to have lunch with my daddy." Are y'all with me? So I'm begging you, don't let a prayer you mumbled through and there was no relationship with God. Don't let the fact that you walk these roads and drive these roads and you watch what you want to, you listen to what you want to, you laugh at what the world laughs at. Your life is in and of the world and yet you claim to be His. Don't go to hell with a false profession. This fatherhood thing is such a mess in our culture. Entire TV shows are built on the fact of paternity tests. You say, "How do you know that?" Well, I assure you, it's not what I would ever choose to watch. I have been confined to a doctor's office before and had to watch that foolishness. It got so nasty one day, I took my chair out in the hall. And a nurse came through and she said, "Are you the hall monitor?" I said, "No, I didn't want to watch the filth on the television in the waiting room." I've never heard such screaming and vulgarity from a society that mocks father. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Because if I, as the enemy, condemn this entire culture's view of what a daddy is, then you've got a whole new set of issues to come to trust a heavenly father. You've got a whole new set of obstacles to overcome to trust God. When I stand here to say God's like a heavenly father, half of my congregation goes, "Oh no, really?" You're saying, "Preacher, you're making that up." "Oh no, I could open the floor right now." And they'd say, "He's talking about me." We've sat at tables. We've sat at pews. We've knelt at altars. We've gone to Waffle House. And I've said, "I am sorry for what you grew up in. But here's what God is a heavenly father." Don't become discouraged. And get out of the way. And let me say one more thing about discouragement, and then I'm going to look at the second one. Men, I want to say this to the daddies. If we can't win at it, we don't want to do it. That was my feeble attempt at humor. You want to know why some men are in and out, hot and cold, on and off, up and down spiritually? They want to be big dog. And this, you say, "Preacher, you're making that up so it fits the text." Oh no, I've had them sit at the table. They'd say, "Preacher, this is too hard." I said, "Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If it's hard, it's because you're walking in the flesh." Do you know who I have helping me? The Holy Spirit. Where does He draw His power from? Heaven. I've got everything I need to be a Christian. Amen. And so men, if you've backed up and said, "I'm tired of failing," let me tell you something. A, number one, make sure you save. Say amen. Amen. Number two, plug into Jesus. Plug into the Bible. Plug into the church. Get yoked up with a brother in Christ and you can walk this way. I showed you last week, two weak people can lean on each other if they have to. Don't use it as an excuse. Now look at the next verse, please. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you." I want to preach for about 12 to 15 minutes and I'll be through on bitterness. And I'm using the word "trouble you." Lest any root of bitterness. Listen to me. I believe it's Colossians. If it's not, please forgive me. God specifically said to the daddies, He said, "Be not bitter against your wives." Men, I'm here to tell you this morning, we, more than the ladies, are tempted with bitterness. It's part of our makeup. We're tempted with bitterness. And I want to say to all of us here this morning, it's not just the men, every man, woman, and child, especially in this broken down, messed up culture that we live in today, we're tempted with bitterness. Bitterness, friend, is drinking the poison and hoping the other man dies. Bitterness is drinking the poison and hoping the other man dies. That one who you have justified your bitterness toward is going on sowing their dirty seeds, doing their dirty deeds, destroying other people's lives, and they're taking great glory in it because that's how messed up they are. Now, I don't know who has made you bitter, but I am here to beg you and I am here to plead with you. Give it up. Give it to the Lord. Do not let bitterness destroy you. The root of bitterness is always found in discontentment that came from comparison. Bitterness always comes from discontentment that is a result of comparison. If everybody on my road is driving junk, I'm good with that. Until somebody shows up in a 2018 F-250. Y'all with me? What's that amazing red color they've come up with? Cinnamon apple. What's it called? You like it too? Oh, are you bitter? I'm struggling. If we're all driving junk, I'm good, Aaron. Let's just rattle trap up the road. Man, one dude shows up in a dually and I'm going, what's up with that? I support missionaries. He drinks. I'm good to my kids. He's using it on cigarettes. I take care of my wife. He's buying joints. Come on, somebody help me. You say, Brother Rains, are you real? Psalm 73, here's what Asaph said. I was envious at the foolish. He was just honest. He said, I started looking at these fools. Here's what he said. I looked at the fools in Henderson County and I got envious. Why? You got a sin nature. You got a sin nature and the eye of man is never satisfied. Bitterness comes from discontentment. Discontentment comes from comparison. Okay? The root of bitterness, the reproduction. Look at your text. Trouble who? Would you answer me? Trouble you. And thereby many be defiled. Who was troubled? How many were defiled? Many. The root of bitterness is discontentment, which comes from comparison. The reproduction of it is many are defiled. You let a preacher get bitter, many will be defiled. You with me? You let a man in the pulpit get bitter, many in that congregation will be defiled with his bitterness. You let a head of a home get bitter, many in that home will be defiled. If you're the head of your home, either because God ordained you to be, or by default, you've had to step up and take that leadership. Can I beg you to do something? Pray every day. Fast once a week. Come to this altar every time we have church. Do whatever you have to do to fight bitterness in your life. It is not worth it. It's not worth it. It feels good. It's like that pride I preached about on Wednesday. It feels good. My flesh enjoys being bitter at you. But it destroys me and it defiles many.
For more information about Progress Baptist Church and to hear this and other sermons, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pressingonradio@gmail.com. That's pressingonradio@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Be sure to tune in this time next week for another challenging message from God's Word.